Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is God's word. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture, it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy an inspired word. Last time we looked at the opening verses of this chapter. It says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit," etc. But whenever you're studying the scripture or something else for that matter, when you see the word "therefore," always ask, what is the "therefore" there for? Okay? Why does it say "therefore"? And it's because of what has just gone before. This is not a bunch of random thoughts. There's a linear argument going on here. And if you learn how to follow that linear thought, you will understand the scriptures much better. So, therefore, rid yourselves of these things. Why for? What did we see yesterday? We saw yesterday what God has done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the way this letter starts out. Rejoicing in what God has done and the fact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ solidifies, verifies all the promises of God. And so in light of that, now that you've been born again, You need to change. You are being changed by God's grace, but God involves us in the process of saying, oh, that doesn't belong in my life anymore. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. You need to get those things out of your life. They don't belong. Are there things in your life that suck the life out of you? That's what sin does. The reason God hates sin is he loves people. It's not just an affront against his holiness. It's something that destroys lives. The reason God says don't do that is because people get hurt doing that. And so we need to get rid of most of the deceit and malice and stuff like that. No, we need to get rid of all of it. Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that I'm really used to and comfortable with, and it's been that way for a long time in my life. Yeah, you were dead in trespasses and sins. So now that you are a new creature in Christ, you need to rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. That includes bringing up prayer requests that are designed to provide you with a way of telling other people how this person is bad. Okay? Slander of every kind. Well, it's not slander if it's true. It has to do also with motive. Okay? Now, be careful. Because you want to be rid of slander of every kind. And what's the cure for this sin in our lives? The Word of God. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Now that you've been saved, you need to desire the Word of God, which is going to grow you up so that you more readily discern what's right and what's wrong, what belongs in your life and what should no longer have a place in your life. Now, I could just preach on that. Because if you think about how a newborn baby desires milk, okay, it's wired into them. And if you are born again, if you have passed from death to life, one of the characteristics that should be there if everything's healthy is that you will crave pure spiritual milk. You want to learn. You want to know more. You're hungry for this. It's like, wow, I didn't understand that before. One of the greatest thrills for me is watching a new Christian who's now just eager to learn all he can. That's great. Why is that the case? Because they're alive now, and so they're hungry for truth. Beautiful thing to see. If you haven't experienced that, you ought to talk with the Lord about being born again. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him. Who is that him? Jesus. He is the living stone. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's who we are and what we're to be doing. Jesus is the living stone. He is the one that everything's built on. The body of Christ is built on him. As you come to him, the living stone, who was rejected by men, but chosen by God. If your goal is to be loved by everybody, accepted by everybody, popular, famous, you're barking up the wrong tree. You're headed in the wrong direction. Jesus was rejected by men. Now, not by everybody. Peter obviously was one of the ones who followed Jesus, who left everything to follow Jesus. But Jesus was rejected by those who were in positions of religious power. And he ended up on the cross. Well, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The reason that what we do is acceptable to God is because it's done through Jesus Christ. He's the one who works in and through us to make it what it should be. And two comparisons here. You're like him, living stones, being built up into a spiritual house, but you're not just the stones, you're also the holy priesthood. To be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you're going to be built up by God into a spiritual house, you can't keep everybody else at arm's length. Okay? God puts us together. And we actually are built on one another. And others are resting on us. And all of us are being built by Jesus. Our relationships with each other matter tremendously. That's why it's imperative that we love one another. Well, Pastor, that's going to take a miracle in my life. I believe it, okay? But Jesus works miracles. And he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're not talking about a physical building here. We're talking about the body of Christ. Well, I want to know which church is the true church. All born-again Christians are part of the true church. But we need to behave like it.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children. 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Trusts in what? In him. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He didn't just know what he had believed, he knew the one that he believed. His trust was in Jesus. The thief on the cross didn't know a lot of theology, but he recognized Jesus as the Messiah, and he said there on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I don't have time to explain to you about soteriology. Jesus said, you're trusting in me? I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in paradise this day. Wow. So I don't have to be brilliant and understand all this and go to seminary in order to go to heaven? Absolutely not. You can have a PhD or 2 and teach at a seminary And if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. You can be the pastor. You can be whatever, famous TV evangelist, and still go to hell. Because if you're trusting in your PhDs and your mega ministry instead of in Jesus, you're not going to be saved. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? In your name. He says, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. So here's the thing. Are you trusting in him? Are you trusting in him? He is the one. Those who trust in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. Jesus is precious to you. Other people may mock. Other people may laugh. But to you who believe and trust in him, this stone is precious. Jesus is precious to you. But to those who do not believe, first thing, two things he's going to cite here from Scripture. The first is, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. To those who do not believe, here's a newsflash. Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? Jesus' lordship doesn't depend on your vote. So all the people who scorn and mock, they don't win. Those who don't believe in him, they need to know that he's become the capstone. Jesus is Lord. And here's the second thing. He's a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. You see, God spoke that before Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Jesus is the fulfillment of this. God knew from the beginning that the response of many people would be they're willing to accept some sort of amorphous construct concerning God, but when it comes down to Jesus, God incarnate, facing him, hatred was the response. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Wow. I don't know that that phrase ought to be in there. Yes, it should. This is God's word. Deal with it. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. I want you to look at those words and meditate on that for a moment. You are a chosen people. Some of you came from situations where you felt like you could never amount to anything. Your life was just doomed not to be very good. And some of you came from situations where you were told that by people. Maybe by family, maybe by neighbors, maybe by teachers. God forbid, maybe by a pastor. You'll never amount to anything. You're no good. You know what God says? To his children, to those who trust in him, he says, I chose you. I chose you. You are chosen people. That's not all. You're a royal priesthood. Wow. Earlier he said we were living stones being built into a spiritual house and to be a priesthood. Here he says we're not just a priesthood, we're a royal priesthood. We're royalty. Why? Because our Father is the King. Wow. King of the universe. He created the whole place. Everything. He created it. And he's adopted us into his family. I love all seven of my kids so much. But let's just say that the four I adopted came from very different circumstances than the three that were born into my house. But being adopted changed everything for them. Totally changed their circumstances. When you and I are born again, we are made part of God's family, and now we're royalty. But we're not just royalty, we're a royal priesthood. And there's a reason, there's a purpose. So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You now have a mission in life, and it is to give praise to the one who brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. That's why we're here, and it's wonderful light, okay? If you've ever stumbled around in the darkness, it is not fun. I went hiking with a friend in North Carolina years ago. We had a treehouse way up on the side of the mountain that a group of us had built. I mean, it was cool. We could sleep over 20 people in it. But anyway, we had hiked up there earlier and left all our camping gear there, and then we had a lot of time and said, let's go down to campus. So we went down to the college campus there in Montreat. And then we started hiking back up the mountain, and stupidly, neither of us had brought a flashlight. And sometimes, you know, you can see by the light of the moon. Not that night. It was an overcast sky, and there was no light, no moon, no stars, nothing. I had a few matches. I should have made a torch, but instead, I would occasionally light a match to see if we were still on the trail. I've been there. But I know people who live that way. By the way, we were below the treehouse. We had to hike all the way home. But thank God we didn't get seriously injured. We did have some ankle twists and falls, but nothing terrible. But it is a picture of how many people live their lives. Stumbling along in the darkness, hoping they're not going to get hurt too bad next time. And I'm telling you, God's called us into his wonderful light. It's wonderful. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Those things that part of you wants to do, those desires are trying to destroy you. The reason the enemy wants you to do that stuff is because the enemy hates you. And the reason the enemy hates you is because God loves you. So recognize who your enemy is. It's not God or the people who are trying to get you to do what God says. Those are not the bad guys. The bad guys are those desires that you still have that are warring against your soul. You should live such good lives among the pagans that even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. What's your self-image? Well, I don't think I'm very attractive. You are part of a building that God is making. You are part of a priesthood that God has called to serve him. You are royalty, and you have a mission in life. And the mission is to praise and glorify him and share with others how he's changed you. Start focusing on that. Don't focus on the things that pass away. Don't focus on the externals. Don't focus on things that don't last. Focus on what Jesus is doing in your life. God has called you to glorify him by sharing the riches of His grace, that He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.